that was mean.
Yeah, maybe put in the middle. Thanks. All right, you ready? Okay. All right, I'd like to call the Metro Council business meeting to order on May 9th, 2019. Councillor Dirksen is excused, but we do have a quorum. I will now ask Councillor Gonzalez to read the safety briefing.
Please note that we are on the third floor of the building. In the event of a fire or fire alarm, please exit through the door in the northeast corner of this room, go down the steps to the second floor, and exit through the main entrance by the reception desk. We will meet in the courtyard outside that entrance. In the event of a medical or fire emergency, please call 911 and notify the security agent at the front desk. The nearest defibrillator is mounted on the steps leading from the reception desk down to Grand Avenue. A fire extinguisher is located in the corridor to the right of the dais as you leave the chamber. That's this side.
All right, thank you. We will now open public communication on non-agenda items, and I am not seeing that we have any. If anybody wishes to come forward and speak on a non-agenda item, now would be the time. All right, I will close that portion of our meeting. That's public communication on non-agenda items is closed. And we're moving on to presentations. Today we have the Oregon Zoo Bond Citizens Oversight Committee annual report. And we have Susan Hartnett, the Bond Oversight Committee member, and Heidi Ron and Sarah Keene for our staff presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council President Peterson, fellow Metro Councilors. I'm Heidi Ron. I oversee our capital projects for Metro, and with me is Sarah Keene, who manages the zoo's finance and administration. In 2008, the residents of the Metro region voted to support a $125 million public bond to make much-needed renovations to the Oregon Zoo. Included in the bond measure language was a promise of a citizen oversight committee recruited from the community that would serve on behalf of voters to monitor the use of the bond funds, assess progress in implementing the projects, track our spending trends, recommend project modifications, and ensure the promises of the bond measure are realized. Each year since 2011, we've had the honor of joining the leadership of that committee and reporting to you the progress made by the Zoo Bond program over the previous year. With us is Susan Hartnett. She has served as the chair of the Oregon Zoo Bond Oversight Committee for the past year. She's been on the committee for 3 years and for 2 years on the Zoo Public Art Advisory Committee. Susan's report today fulfills the bond measure requirement to report annually to the Metro Council, and we are so greatly appreciative of the committee's diligence in their work to track our progress. Before I turn it over, turn the presentation over to Susan, on behalf of the Oregon Zoo, the Zoo Bond Program, and the Oversight Committee, I want to thank Martha Bennett for her leadership over the past 8 years. Martha set up the structure needed to successfully deliver on the promises made to the voters. Thank you, Martha. And in addition, we want to thank Tim Collier, our departing finance director. Tim has guided the agency in our financial decisions and policies that continue to result in excellent bond ratings and fiscal stewardship. Under Martha and Tim's leadership, we have made significant progress. And with that, I'll turn it over to Susan Hartnett.
Thank you, Heidi. Good afternoon, Council President Peterson and councilors. For the record, I'm Susan Hartnett, the chair of the Oregon Zoo Bond Citizens Oversight Committee. That is such a mouthful. I am very pleased to be here to present the committee's annual report for 2018. and I hope to make it through without having a coughing fit, so pardon me if I do. I'd also like to start by echoing Heidi's thanks to Martha Bennett and Tim Collier for their years of service to the Metro region, including their stewardship of the Metro Visitor Venues Program, which includes the Oregon Zoo and the facilities that are overseen by the Metro Exposition and Recreation Commission, another hardworking citizen body, I may say. As Heidi mentioned, I've been on the committee for 3 years and became the chair in 2018. I've also made the commitment to remain on the committee as the chair until the bond program has completed its work, so you will see me several more times over the coming years. Since I don't have kids, my connection to the zoo prior to serving on the committee was limited to summer zoo concerts, good stuff, and an occasional visit with nieces and nephews. My participation on the committee has been an awe-inspiring experience for me. I have come to understand how deeply the people who work at the zoo care about the animals and how devoted they are to their jobs. I've also come to know many Metro employees who support the bond program and the zoo, and I am equally awed by their dedication and excellent work. I am humbled and honored to work with all of them on these bond projects. As you know, the committee's oversight role is to ensure that the purpose and promise of the Oregon Zoo bond measure is fully realized. Our purpose is achieved by focusing our efforts on several factors, and the annual report covers our activities that assess progress on fulfilling the promised zoo bond projects and improvement, that monitor and report on spending trends and cost projections, and that recommend project modifications. And we've done some of that, all of that, in 2018. We also expanded our role to include supporting and giving advice on efforts to increase participation from design and construction firms that are minority-owned, women-owned, emerging small businesses, and service-disabled veteran-owned. And the committee also strives to maintain a focus on the visitor experience and how our recommendations impact this crucial component of the zoo's long-term sustainability. People have to want to go to the zoo. And now for my big message today. The committee is pleased to report that in 2018, bond funds continued to be spent wisely. Bond projects were advanced on schedule and within budget, and overall, the bond program is on track to deliver on all voter expectations. That's good news. We're happy to deliver it. The organization of the report follows the requirements of the bond by including three major reporting items. First, assessment of progress, which covers program initiatives and the current projects. Second, spending considerations, which covers the overall spending, cost projections, and the independent financial audit. And third, project modifications in excess of budget. Some of you will recall that in 2015, the committee changed the structure of the report to specifically focus on the three main objectives of the ballot measure, namely animal welfare, conservation education, and infrastructure and sustainability, and added as a focus diversity and contracting utilization. You will see that framework throughout this report. For the 2018 report, the committee decided to make some additional formatting changes to begin transitioning to a final bond program report, which we will issue when the remaining projects are completed. Major changes in the 2018 report are moving information on the completed projects to a new appendix and to begin adding more history of the bond program from concept through implementation. The committee's goals in making these changes is to assemble a complete picture of the zoo bond process, program, and projects, and to begin identifying what we call key lessons learned that may be useful to Metro and other public agencies when undertaking significant bond-funded construction projects. Many committee members participated in the progress we made with the 2018 report and are eager to continue this work. Councillor Craddock was at our meeting yesterday and commented on that this afternoon. We look to streamline and be more concise with our future reports. We acknowledge that this first effort has become a bit repetitive in some areas. Moving now to our activities in 2018, the primary focus on the program in the program was the design, construction planning, and permitting for the final three major projects. These are called Polar Passage, Primate Forest, and Rhino Habitat. The report contains fairly detailed descriptions of these new habitats, so I won't go into those details. I do want to note that, in an abundance of caution from Metro attorneys, the Rhino Habitat is not using bond funds and is instead relying on other sources, principally Oregon Zoo Foundation bonds. And I would be remiss if I did not note that the Oregon Zoo Foundation is a key and critical partner with the bond program in achieving many shared desired outcomes. They're great partners. You may recall that in 2017, a decision was made to manage these final projects as a single construction site. This approach is expected to reduce construction time and cost and to reduce impacts on zoo operations and the visitor experience. While it's too soon to say if these goals will be fully met, the projects are off to a good start, and there is good reason to be optimistic. In 2018, the designs were completed, and as you can see on the cover of the report, old exhibits were torn down. That was a great event. And construction equipment was staged and stood ready to begin the work. I'm pleased to say today that construction permits from the city are anticipated any day, and we expect construction to be underway by early June. I can also report that the bond team, including the contractors, used the extensive permitting period very effectively to prepare for the construction phase, and we all have high hopes that it will be a very smooth process from this point forward. Now let me touch on the financial side a bit. As you are all aware, the strength of the local economy and an unprecedented rate of construction activity continues to create challenges for many public sector construction projects. This was certainly true as the final bond projects were being developed. Of principal concern to the committee in 2018 was assuring that all of the bond projects would be completed within the remaining funds without sacrificing the bond program's strong commitment to animal welfare and also maintaining a quality visitor experience. Given that the initial cost estimates were done more than a decade ago and the cost escalation rate in recent years has been much higher than was projected, we knew this was not necessarily going to be an easy task. These questions were not fully resolved by the end of 2018 and therefore are not contained in this report except as footnotes to help readers who might be confused. I am happy to report that the bond program and zoo staff did extensive work to bring these final projects in line with their budgets despite continually escalating construction costs, and a successful conclusion was reached in early 2019. As you may recall, in February, I was here to share the committee's support for a staff recommendation to allocate remaining unallocated funds to align with the final project and program needs through their completion. Your approval of those changes was greatly appreciated. The committee was very pleased that the full team, including Zoo and Metro staff, as well as the design and construction firms, was able to work in close collaboration to bring the final project designs to a successful completion that fully meets the commitments of the bond measure and places the greatest value on animal welfare. We are also pleased that the program continues to place high priority on meeting the stated 15% COVID goals and look forward to sharing the details about that for the final projects in our future reports. The committee also wants to note that the bond program continues to earn many awards. At our meeting yesterday, we heard about two more. These awards, coming from professional organizations of all types, sizes, and location, they're national, local, and international, provide significant validation for the quality work being done by everybody involved with these projects. In closing, I want to take a minute to commend the bond team and zoo staff who consistently present clear, thoughtful, and professional information to the committee and demonstrate their willingness to engage with the committee on issues and to give serious consideration to the members' thoughts, concerns, and ideas. I also want to thank Heidi, Sarah, and Linnea for all the help they provide me as the chair. They make me look good. The committee also wants to note that Dr. Don Moore's leadership at the Oregon Zoo has been a significant benefit not only to the bond program, but throughout the zoo's many activities and programs. He's a great addition to the zoo leadership. The committee's report includes numerous specific commendations, and I would like to read just two of them. First, the committee commends zoo staff on careful and strategic value engineering and monitoring of costs during the completion of the final project's designs without sacrificing animal welfare or conservation efforts. And second, the committee commends Metro for reserving program contingency funds to ensure the final projects would be completed successfully despite the demand in the region's construction market. Over the next few years, as the final projects are built and opened, the committee will work to assure success in meeting the bond goals, including the best conditions for the animals and a first-class experience for zoo visitors. It is my honor to thank the other 17 members of the Oregon Zoo Bond Citizens Oversight Committee for their service throughout 2018 and their work on this 2018 report. And with that, I close my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Councilors? Councilor Stacy?
Susan, I don't think you have to apologize or act modest about repetition in your report. I thought it was concise. I thought it was clear. I like the chart that acknowledges the $3.7 million of unallocated program reserves that will help us through this final phase, and the other chart that shows the remarkable contribution of the foundation. Being able to make that pivot with the Rhino Project was an enormous contribution to where we are now. Thanks for a very comprehensive report. It's so rewarding and reassuring that a committee chaired by such a qualified person and composed of really great smart folks has come to this unanimous conclusion. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I do want you to know the committee did talk yesterday fairly extensively about shortening this report up.
Okay.
So we want to
slow reader like me.
We want to do that. We want it to be a tool that people will turn to in the future, and we want to also capture all the hard work that's been done throughout the bond program. So it is hard to do that, but we're going to give it a really good shot. I promise you that.
Thank you.
Councilor Lewis?
In the spirit of Councilor Stacy, I'll ask a non-question question.
My apologies to all of you.
Yeah, my apologies. I just want to say that this is a really helpful overview for those of us who are new. So I do think that having the appendices preparing for the final report is really helpful. Though new to council, I'm not new to the project. I actually was on the campaign team that passed the bond in 2008. And I remember our campaign sticker said, "Our zoo needs you." And the "you" at that point was the general public. Our zoo needed the public to invest in the future of our animals.
Not a new.
Not a new.
Not a new. And I think our animals are getting top-notch facilities, but we're also, as this report shows, able to really increase our wildlife and conservation education programming. So that's really the goal and mission of the facility. And thank you for bringing both of those features out in the report. And just thanks to you and all of the committee for the time and effort you put in, not only on the narrative and the report, but also working. I did read the section that Moss Adams gave us the audit, two thumbs up. So thank you for that as well.
Thank you, Councilor Lewis. I hope you'll allow one of the committee members to come interview you. One of the things that we're going to be doing over the next couple of years is trying to gather some of that early information that none of us really hold, and it's folks like you who work to pass the bond who can help us understand that early history and capture it in ways that may be helpful in the future.
Great. I will note that to my husband, who really wants to clean the basement, that I might have some documents for him.
I have a husband like that at home, too, so I hear you.
Councilor Craddock.
Well, I've had the honor to be the liaison to the Citizen Oversight Committee for, I think, almost the entire time, and really have enjoyed representing the Metro Council and getting the opportunity to listen to your discussions, and always been very impressed. I believe that Metro, and with Martha's leadership, and Heidi, the work that you've done, and what the committee has done is really has set some standards of how we go about public with how we go about using these public funds to make sure that they are used appropriately, that they're used judiciously, that we're careful with how we spend them, that we're make sure we don't get into cost overruns. So this is really quite remarkable, and I think is what you're doing is, like you mentioned, and like Councilor Lewis mentioned, this is really a historical document that I think will be available to other agencies in the future to help them with managing their large bond projects that they have, because these are huge amount of money that take many years. I've said this before, but I don't think I can say it often enough. It's really remarkable that here we are in 2008, this bond was passed by the voters, and we are now in 2019. Here we are 11 years later, and we are completing the projects on time and on budget at a time when construction costs, I don't even know how much they've gone up over the last few years, but really significantly. And it really could have been in some significant bind if we hadn't been able to manage these funds so carefully. As I look back now that I'm on my final term on the Metro Council, is that, the first step that staff did, again, with Martha's guidance, is we took time, I think it was 18 months, I don't know if it was that long, establishing a master plan for the zoo and identifying, okay, where are all these projects going to be placed, or where are these new habitats going to be in the zoo, but then what the relationship that is to the rest of the current facilities, and then went through the process of how you're going to use these funds for each of these projects, and establish large contingencies, and also in addition a fairly large reserve. And then meanwhile, we had the support of the Oregon Zoo Foundation, who has contributed a significant amount of money to help us through some of those tough times. And so it's really, each one of these, I think, are significant milestones that we should be very proud of, and I hope the public is proud of this, too, that how well this has been managed. And I see this as an example, being used as an example for future bond projects. We now have another project we're working on, building affordable housing in the region, that I'm sure will be following very similar processes that were established through this program. So I just want to say thank you to the committee for everyone's a volunteer. You all have other jobs, you have other things in your life, and you've contributed a significant amount of time into making sure that this is a thorough document, it's a complete document. And it's always very impressed sitting at the table, listening to your interaction with each other on just how much time it took to prepare this and make this available to us and the public. So thank you very much. I'm really proud of it. It's really exciting. I'm really, of course, look forward. What about another 18 months, is it, before we'll be able to open these new habitats, and really look forward to being able to celebrate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Council Craddock.
Further discussion? Right. Well, thank you so much. Much appreciated, again, on all the hard work, and I look forward to the shortened version. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right, we move on to our consent agenda. Today's consent agenda consists of two items, the minutes for the May 2nd, 2019 council meeting and the resolution number 19-4994. Do I have a motion?
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Stacey and seconded by Councillor Gonzalez. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Ayes have it, and it passes. Thank you. We're going to move on to ordinance number 19-1435, which is a first read and public hearing for the purpose of approving a solid waste facility franchise application and authorizing City of Roses Disposal and Recycling, Inc. to operate a transfer station. I'm going to go through the agenda for this real quick and then come back around for staff presentation. First, staff will present the staff report and discuss the relevant code that is the criteria for this application. And the applicant, City of Roses Disposal and Recycling, located at 4530 Northeast 138th Avenue, will present. Following the applicant, we will hear any public testimony for or against this application. After the public testimony is finished, we may ask staff for some clarifying questions. But again, I want to reiterate, there's no decision actually made here today. There will be a second reading where there will be further discussion, maybe further clarification, and a vote on May 16th. Before we get started, does any counselor wish to declare a conflict of interest regarding this application? Does any counselor wish to declare any ex parte contact regarding this application? I will start by just acknowledging that we have all received emails, so we don't need to declare that, but I did have a quick conversation with the applicant just this week about the emergency resolution request. Counselor Stacey.
Thank you, Madam President. On February 7th, 2019, a review of my calendar shows that Counselor Dirksen and I met with Orlando Simpson of City of Roses. He provided us with an update on his facility proposal and asked for our support for a declaration of an emergency clause.
Thank you. Councillor Craddock and Councillor Chase.
I had a meeting with Mr. Simpson in January, and it was an update to the, he was reviewing with me the update and his plans for the application, but that was the last contact that I've had with him.
Thank you. Councillor Chase.
I also had a conversation with Mr. Simpson and discussed the project in not a lot of detail, but did discuss the project, and even one of the topics was whether it could potentially be an emergency clause, which we're not considering here, but that was another topic.
Thank you. Councilors? All right, thank you. I will call Roy Brower up, Metro Interim Property and Environmental Services Director, and Hilla Ritter, Metro Interim Solid Waste Compliance Manager, for a brief presentation. Thank you both for coming up. And actually, before you get started, I just want to make sure that everybody in the audience understands what we just went through with the ex parte contact. And I'll ask our interim attorney to just put that in context of what that means.
Yes, I think we're treating this as a hearing where we want to make sure that people get in the record that there have been some contacts between the applicant and some of the councils during the process, just to make sure that the public knows that and has an opportunity to respond.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good afternoon, councilors. I am Roy Brower. I'm your interim property and environmental services. You know, forgive me, too. I'm also dealing with hay fever and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
and with me today is Hyla Ritter, who is our interim solid waste compliance manager. Today we're here to introduce a franchise recommendation for a new solid waste transfer station. City of Roses Disposal and Recycling, or also known as CORE Transfer Station, located in North Portland. As a preface to the staff report that Hyla will present, I wanted to remind you about Metro's authorities within the regional solid waste system and put this decision in context for you, since this is the first new franchise decision before this council. Under state law and its own independent home rule charter authority, Metro has broad authority and responsibility for planning, managing, and overseeing the regional solid waste system. Metro manages the region's solid waste system on behalf of the public and relies on the recently adopted regional waste plan for guidance to address critical issues such as protecting the environment and human health, conserving natural resources, advancing environmental literacy, fostering economic well-being for all, ensuring the resilience of our garbage and recycling system, and providing excellent and equitable services. The regulatory action before you today is in keeping with those responsibilities. As you know, Metro has the legal authority to direct, if it so chose, all solid waste to its own public facilities. This is true for food waste, construction and demolition waste, household garbage, and recyclables. However, the Metro Council has determined that it is currently in the public interest to include some private sector companies in the solid waste system to provide some services directly, such as dry waste processing, some wet waste transfer and disposal, and processing of various recyclable materials. The Metro Council has also determined that Metro should actively manage the system in a variety of ways, including owning and operating facilities, planning for the future of the system, and, of course, implementing the regional waste plan. Under Metro's Solid Waste Code in Title V, the Metro Council has retained the authority to make regulatory decisions regarding matters related to what we love to call putrescible waste or wet waste. The council has delegated authority to the COO for matters related to non-putrescible waste or dry waste. The ordinance before you is in keeping with Metro's legal authority to regulate and oversee the regional solid waste system. The ordinance asks you to consider whether to authorize a new private transfer station in Northeast Portland. HILA will now provide a brief staff report, followed by the applicant who will be presenting on behalf of the facility. Next week, you're scheduled to decide whether to approve this franchise. So no decision this week. That's deferred till next week. Thank you. HILA.
Council President Peterson and Metro Councilors, for the record, my name is HILA Ritter, and I'm currently serving as interim manager for the Solid Waste Compliance Group within Property and Environmental Services. As Roy mentioned, if adopted, this ordinance will authorize a new transfer station franchise for City of Roses Disposal and Recycling called CORE Transfer Station, or CORE. CORE is currently authorized by Metro and DEQ to operate a dry waste material recovery facility where it processes construction and demolition debris to recover recyclable material, and was awarded a grant through Metro's Investment and Innovation Program to further dry waste recovery operations. CORE is a local, family, minority-owned waste collection business established in 1992. In 2013, CORE began operating as a material recovery facility at Northeast 109th in Portland, and in February of this year, relocated to its current site at Northeast 138th. In general, CORE has had a good history of regulatory compliance at its existing dry waste facility. Staff is aware that there was a diesel spill that resulted in a fire at the site this past weekend associated with equipment fueling activities, and we are currently investigating the situation and evaluating next steps. This incident does not alter our recommendation today. CORE is a private business that applied to Metro to operate a transfer station in addition to its current dry waste material recovery operations at its site on 138th. Public notice regarding this application was posted on Metro's website. A postcard with information in the top five most commonly spoken languages in our region was mailed to over 1,400 property owners, schools, neighborhood associations, and residents, and emailed to other parties that have a general interest in solid waste issues. The 30-day public comment period was extended an additional 2 weeks, and Metro received 48 comments during the formal public notice period. The comments were mixed. Some comments expressed support for this local minority-owned business and for increased recycling infrastructure in this region. Others opposed the franchise primarily due to its location, concerns about potential groundwater contamination, increased traffic and off-site impacts such as dust, odors, noise, and increased vectors like rats. In response, Metro hosted a community conversation in collaboration with DEQ on April 9th to better understand community concerns and explain Metro's process and for DEQ to explain its process. And approximately 70 people attended this event. A detailed response to the concerns presented to Metro staff is included as attachment to the public comment report, but I will briefly address some of the primary concerns. In regards to location, this facility is located in a regionally significant industrial sanctuary and has been the site of several industrial, commercial, and waste-related businesses since 1959, including the site's former occupant, Oregon Recycling Systems, which operated a material recovery facility there for curbside recyclable materials from 1995 to 2016. As to water contamination concerns, as a condition of the sale of the property to CORE, an engineered bioswale and natural area was installed on the eastern property line to control site drainage and function as a buffer. City of Portland's Bureau of Environmental Services has evaluated the site's existing stormwater management system and has determined that it meets city's requirements. CORE must also comply with the requirements of its DEQ stormwater and solid waste permits. The site has undergone significant improvements since CORE acquired ownership of the facility, which are expected to control and minimize off-site impacts. For example, all site roadways have been paved to mitigate dust from vehicle traffic, Significant portions of the exterior siding of the main building were replaced to decrease exposure to elements and better control odor and noise, as well as improve aesthetics. Land clearing and preliminary landscaping have begun to further enhance visual aesthetics and buffer site activities, and the site office building has been largely renovated. Additional site infrastructure improvements are planned, including construction improvements to buildings and additional paving. Regarding traffic, City of Portland has granted approval for the proposed waste-related activity, which also complies with PBOT and ODOT vehicle requirements and Port of Portland air traffic requirements in this industrial zone. Regionally significant industrial areas that are near major transportation routes enable efficient movement of freight, including solid waste, which is vital to the region's economy and provide good jobs. The proposed franchise includes pre-operating conditions to ensure the site is fully prepared to accept wet waste and mitigate off-site impacts. Furthermore, it must operate in accordance with a Metro-approved operating plan, which has specific requirements for controlling and minimizing off-site impacts, including but not limited to vectors, dust, odors, and noise. Staff finds that the applicant has sufficiently demonstrated that it meets the approval criteria detailed in Metro Code. In that, it has demonstrated it meets the requirements for a franchise, it complies with the multiple Metro guiding documents, such as the agency-wide equity plan and the Property Environmental Services Department Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Plan, as explained in detail in the staff report, and most significantly, the Regional Waste Plan. The proposed franchise is consistent with the Regional Waste Plan because it helps achieve many of the goals outlined in the plan. In particular, staff finds that the proposed facility would likely increase the percentage of garbage and recycling system revenue that benefits a company owned by people of color, which is goal two, increase the diversity of the workforce in occupations where people of color are underrepresented, goal four, promote efficient off-route travel, which reduces environmental impacts, goal 12, support investment in the host community by way of the Community Enhancement Grant Program, goal 13, and implement the transfer station's system configuration policy by including a small, locally based business in the region's solid waste system, goal 16. So if approved, CORE would be required to collect and remit a community enhancement fee of $1 per ton on the wet waste that it receives. Under the proposed franchise, this could yield up to $15,000 in 2019 to be used for rehabilitation and enhancement projects in the area surrounding the facility. Approval of this ordinance is not expected to reduce the amount of waste received at Metro's transfer stations because the waste it is expected to receive is already assumed to be going to another private transfer station. Therefore, the impact of the solid waste fund operating costs and revenues are expected to be minimal. In addition to this ordinance, at next week's meeting on May 16th, we will bring forward a companion resolution on the consent agenda that would authorize the COO to amend the non-system license, the NSL, for CORE that authorizes the transport of wet waste to Wasco County Landfill. Approval of both the franchise and the NSL will align the inbound tonnage at the transfer station with the outbound tonnage destined for disposal at the landfill. If this ordinance is adopted as proposed, the franchise would become effective 90 days after its adoption. As part of its application, CORE requests that the Metro Council adopt an emergency clause for an earlier effective date. Staff does not find that there is a need for implementation of an emergency clause, as there are several pre-operating conditions in the proposed franchise that preclude an expedited effective date. Staff does recommend that the Council adopt this ordinance and authorize the COO to issue a new franchise to CORE as attached to the ordinance as Exhibit A. We're happy to provide further details or answer any questions that you may have about the proposed franchise.
Councilors, questions at this time? No. All right, thank you. I'd like to call up the applicant for a brief presentation. So, Mr. Simpson, you can bring as many guests and speakers.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us. I'm not good at meetings and speaking.
Is it on?
So I just want to let you know. Today's a special day to me. It would have been my mother's birthday today. should have been buried her 2 years ago. She'd have been 91 years old. And she was born and raised here. Her mother came from Alabama in the late 1800s. And then they came to Oregon, my mother. Then it was her kids were me. I got my kids now. And what I'm trying to explain this story to you is, I remember in the 60s, we lived right here in Vancouver and Russell by Emmanuel down in that way. I remember in the 60s, I remember playing on I-5 by the Motor Center where they were building the highway then. So it's a lot of history in my family. I remember when it was all black businesses on Williams and Vancouver. And, you know, times has changed. I did 30 years for City of Portland. After that, I had to leave because at that time, I remember going to Metro. I remember when Metro built their facility in Northwest Portland. Remember when that was built. I used to drive a truck down there, the city truck, and we would dump. And I'd see all this garbage. I'd see the Mexicans on the ground, and I see the Caucasian drivers. There was never no women. There was no people of color there. The only people of color was the Mexicans on the ground. And then, you know, it always killed me, drag. I just felt one day it had to change. So after I retired from the city, I went into this, I bought a truck. I had three kids, a house payment, and, you know, it was, hey, look, man, either I was going to lose this house and keep working until I'm 70 years old, or I was going to try this business. I wanted to get into recycling. I saw a change. I saw things were happening here. And I wanted to get, I bought a truck. I did drop boxes for a while. But the next big thing for me to do to compete was have a facility. It meant a lot to me. So when they put me in the ground the next 10 years or so, I want my kids to have an opportunity to own a business and then be a part of this Oregon dream, which I think we belong in. And so I'm kind of here just kind of pleading my case, and I appreciate the time that you guys have put in and help my son, because he know I'm not going nowhere. Okay, so it's just not my cup of tea, okay? So I just want to thank everybody who's helped him along. It's really appreciated.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
And for the record, can we just get your full name and city of residence?
I'm sorry. Alonzo okay. Simpson. Full name and what else was that?
City of residence.
City of residence? Oh, the city of Portland, City of Roses, disposal and recycling.
That's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's on? Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, old timer.
You can only pull that in public.
I thought I wouldn't make it. Okay.
No, you did. You did. You did great. Shook me up a little bit. But Madam President, members of the council, for the record, Orlando Simpson, CEO, co-owner of City of Roses Disposal and Recycling, otherwise referred to as CORE. And as you can see, I'm accompanied today by my father, Alonzo Simpson, who's the founder of this company. And as the applicant of this franchise application and discussion today, I honestly appreciate all the comments that have come in up until this point and the testimonies that are going to be coming shortly after, supportive and in opposition. And I just think it's really vital in a democratic society that we have balance and we have different perspectives and we have different opinions that are shared. And you guys, as appointed as an elected body, are here to create that balance in society, whether it's civil disruption or it's at economic inequity or it's a solid waste permit. But you guys have been entrusted by the taxpayers to make decisions that are in the best interest of the metropolitan region. And I commend you guys for putting in the work and effort that it requires to work in this capacity because it can be very stressful and I'm assuming a lot of work. In all honesty, I would like to spend some time addressing just a little bit about the background and kind of give you a little bit more detail of how we got to where we are today. As my father alluded to, and even to correct Hyla, but the inception of the business, I fully remember because I was in seventh grade, was in 1996. And at that time, just a guy with a dream in an equity line that he took out on a house that he purchased for $35,000 in 1988 in North Portland. Have anybody seen any houses going for that these days?
No.
But just for context, to understand what this is really about, because it's more than just a waste facility permit here, and I need everybody in this room to understand that this is bigger than that, because these things don't happen every day. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I think not only do we and the rest of our family and all of our employees are very proud about this moment and this opportunity that we've been afforded, but I think you as elected officials should be even more proud that you're even presented an opportunity such as this that is something that's never happened before. And so, and as we go further into the 21st century, I would assume we're going to see more and more of these situations that are going to be coming in front of elected bodies to make decisions that are going to actually course correct the status quo system in which we function within today. And so, with that, that small equity line that he took out got him his truck and his container. In the fall of 2003, he landed his first large public works contract hauling dirt, and this was the big project to clean up the Willamette River, the CSO project, I believe, that combined sewer overflow. And actually, there was an individual in this room who actually played a critical role in advocating and supporting for my father to actually be awarded that contract from a big international construction firm, a billion-dollar contractor. And so that actually became the catalyst to what was next, because one thing I have learned from my dad is frugality and to save. And as somebody who practices that every day, he was able to save up enough coins from that project to make his first real industrial land purchase in 2005. And that land purchase actually was the real breaking point or the catalyst that got us here today, because from that time, from 2005 all the way up to 2013, there was a lot of trial and errors, trying to figure out how, as he alluded to build his own recycling facility. And it's not a simple thing. This stuff is beyond complex. If you understand the complexity that goes into dealing with municipalities and the state and DEQ, and I mean all the other agencies that have their hands or an insight or suggestions and input on these processes. In 2013, April 1st, I vividly remember, Metro provided Court's first material recovery facility license. And that was a big turning point in everything, because up until that point, starting in 1996, when the company had started all the way to 2013, he was still working for the city of Portland. So for 17 years, he had worked two full-time jobs, in the mornings for City of Roses, during the day for the city of Portland, after work for City of Roses, and on the weekends for City of Roses. So unfortunately, as a kid growing up, most kids that look like me don't have fathers in their lives because societal issues, right? He wasn't around, but he was sacrificing everything he had so that he could build something. And I think that actually shows an important character that he holds. And it actually becomes a really important model for me, because along the way, he's always explained it as, I do this so you don't have to do this. to your kids, and that's transformational. But to understand the sacrifice that it takes to actually build something, when we talk about equity, when we talk about disparities, it's not as simple as it seems, part of a report or a plan. Like, it takes real sacrifice. You have to give your life to this stuff. So the beauty in that, though, was that he always said that he was going to retire from the city of Portland once he got his facility up. And so from that April 1st license, mid-April 2013, he retired from the city of Portland. But he'll probably allude to that he works harder now than he's ever worked before, because now he's actually full-time in the business. That's just a funny little in-house joke. But the key to all this is that December 2017, there was another big opportunity that was presented to CORE, and that was the acquisition and closing of the real estate 12-acre site of 4530 Northeast 138th, which is where the proposed application for the transfer station license will be hosted at. And in that, he put his whole life savings into making sure that deal would close. Now, it could be fate, it can be the universe, it could be God, whatever you want to refer to it as, but there's been so many different checkpoints and benchmarks through his endeavor and his sacrifices to build something out of nothing, literally, and to become an actual competing entity within this industry that is not welcoming to people that look like us. And we've learned that year after year. And I don't want to eat up too much clock, because I know I already have, but... I just want you guys to know that this is a very impossible journey to take. And I want to give you some positives before I leave this, because I really think that this is important and it's transformative, and it's going to actually become a catalyst of something that we can't even envision that's going to impact our communities in the future. These are very exciting times. My family and all 53 or 54 of our employees who are proudly wear that CORE logo every day know what this means for us all. We envision this next step in our growth opportunity becoming the catalyst to a culture shift in the waste industry, and we believe it desperately needs from a triple bottom line standpoint in order to achieve circular economy impacts. And socially, not only with your approval will this become the first ever African-American-owned transfer station on the West Coast, but it will also be the first ever transfer station that is a certified benefit corporation in the United States of America. Economically, from the community enhancement grant program to the job opportunities for people of color to more cost-effective tipping fees for this part of the region, where the most vulnerable populations actually live, to the profits staying local within our region and being reinvested back into the community, I think it's safe to say that the local taxpayer will be able to justify their return on investment of their public tax dollar. And environmentally, after years of ongoing efforts to try to figure out ways to address one of our biggest issues in this region around urban dimensional wood waste, City of Roses has finally found a creative, sustainable solution for our urban wood waste matters. I would love to share right now, but I can't, but it's very, very exciting times that we're undergoing right now around how we're going to take a material that actually built our state's economy in the 20th century and do it through a sustainable triple bottom line lens to create jobs for people that look like us and second chance employees and minimize this natural resource from being burned and landfilled. And more importantly, ensuring that we are providing living wage jobs for those people as well. And so I just want to make sure that I leave you with a couple of thank yous, because I think this is nothing that we've done on our own. Metro staff have been really good human beings, honest, transparent, understanding. All the community-based organizations who have worked with us throughout the years of coalition building, we've been doing this and working with groups, and many of which you'll probably hear from today. The B Corp community is very excited about this, again, as I've indicated about us being the first in the entire country. So they're on the sidelines chanting. Unfortunately, they can't get too involved politically from what I heard. And all the other public agencies that have walked with us and guided us through all these processes, whether it's land use, whether it was regulatory, and anything else that comes with this, because there's a bucket list of things. And I also want to thank those that are in opposition. I really do want to thank those individuals and those businesses, because they have forced a different side of us to come out and to be resilient, because there's no sympathy in business. And when you try to do something good, there's always someone that's going to try to stop you. And all the threats, the legal pursuits, disruptions, delays, accusations, derogatory slandering, all of that is just only going to make us more resilient and better. And I am adamant about making sure that we create a business that our family will be proud of, that my son and my daughter will be proud of, that my brothers and sisters will be proud of. And I am not going to entertain the fear that others possess by our growth. I just want them to understand that their fear is not solely predicated on our market share growth. It is driven by the ambiguity of what CORE will do with this community in pursuits for a true 21st century triple bottom line sustainable ecosystem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Any questions from counselors? Councilor Chase.
I think this is maybe not a time I would normally make a comment, but I would like to, because I've not had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Simpson Sr. And we are going to be hearing a lot about the operations of this facility, and I think it's going to be very meaningful and important. I want to say something about your experience and your business and what you've done, which is, you know, we've put a lot of time and effort into moving forward with COVID strategies or apprenticeship work or a host of other strategies to try to really provide opportunities for people to succeed in our community that are often not included, that are not part of our job and region's livability. You saw something when you were working at the City of Portland that didn't look right, didn't feel right, you know, in the 90s, and you made a huge difference. You did something about it. You worked incredibly hard to get through that, and you're an incredible model. You're really a community hero, what you've done. And I want to say, you know, your work ethic is reflected in the next generation who your son is somebody who is working just as hard as you. And now we're going to hear about this project and this facility and all that, but I you may not be up here again. So I just want to thank you for what you've done, and your organization is not just, you know, diversity kind of in the leadership positions. It's diversity throughout your organization, and really focused on you know, valuing and supporting your community, and creating job opportunities. So, you know, you are somebody who I hope we will continue to draw from the models that you're putting forward. And how you've put your business together, and continuing to share that in our communities and in all the other areas, we need to continue to do this work.
Thank you, sir.
Councilor Craddock.
Orlando, one thing that I didn't hear you talk about tell us about your employees. Tell us about your hiring model. If I remember correctly, you focus hiring people that have either been incarcerated can you tell me some of your goals that you have for the employees that you hire?
Yeah, you'll be hearing a lot about it probably more in 2020, but we're going to be moving forward with a very strong, aggressive campaign around just the ideology of waste and how that should not solely be subjected to the things people throw in their trash cans, but more focused on the human element of waste and how we perceive humans that are discarded in society. So I believe as a hiring tool and practice, right now, City of Roses is 80% people of color, and our entire executive and management team is 100% either people of color, women, or veteran. And so that is something that, as I was just sharing over at the Awami Luncheon, is very near and dear to our heart, but also it's just a set of principles and values that it was always embedded and pushed in and made sure that we understood as a second generation from the founder, my father.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Mr. Simpson Sr., thank you so much for coming in today.
Yes, sir.
Your story, your family story is definitely unique for these chambers. It reminds me a lot of the stories that my dad has told me of his journey to the United States in general. And he owns a landscaping company, and I think for a long time he wanted me to both be successful in school, but I think he always had a slight hope that I could take over.
And, of course.
You know, and I've been on council for like 4 months now, and I still haven't got my dad to come in here. So,
he's proud of you, man.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, you've raised a wonderful son. Your business model is just very inspiring, and thank you. It means so much to see you here, and for the next generation of Portlanders and of Oregonians, and the kind of legacy that we want to leave. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
I'll just end with saying thank you for coming in, because now your story is now part of the record.
Okay.
Right? It's not just part of the community. It's not just part of the region. It's now part of the record.
Okay.
So it will live way beyond you, and it will inspire a lot of other folks. So thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. With that, we are going to move to our hearing on the proposed ordinance number 19-1435. Before I open the public hearing, I just want to draw your attention to these cards that you saw coming in, as well as that are up on the hearing tables. And I'm going to read it because I think it's important, because this is actually our first big hearing that we've had, and I just want to make sure that we are setting the table correctly for how we are respectful for each other. So I'm just going to read this card. Creating safe and welcoming public places and workspaces. Metro is committed to advancing racial equity, diversity, and inclusion. Because of that commitment, Metro leaders and staff are aware of the political impact of words and actions used in Metro spaces. No matter the shade of your skin, the language you speak, where you were born, who you love, ability, or gender, Metro is taking steps to create safer spaces for everyone. Metro can't do this alone. That's why Metro leaders and staff expect elected and appointed officials, guests, and members of the public who gather in Metro spaces to keep this commitment with us. As hosts and facilitators, I today will actively interrupt any speaker, guest, or seated decision maker who is using statements that repeat or reaffirm negative or harmful stereotypes, insult or dismiss any person, send denigrating messages to people or communities present or not present. So just a reminder to keep things civil. With that, I will open the public hearing, and I will ask the clerk for those who have signed up for and against. Thank you. We have 10 folks today, and I'm going to remind you, as I call you up, I'm going to call about two people at a time just to keep this rolling along. You will each have 3 minutes to testify, and then after that, we'll close the public hearing and have any discussion before we close out this portion of the meeting. All right, our first person up is Tony Jones, and the second one would be Lynn Felton. So if you can each come forward and you will have 3 minutes. Welcome. If you can just say your name and city of residence or who you're representing for the record.
Good afternoon, Metro Councilors. My name is Tony Jones, resident of Portland, Oregon. I am the president of the Coalition of Black Men, and we're a 30-year-old organization, and we work on initiatives to implement strategies that ensure the economic and social viability of black men, their families, and community. This includes things that we do, mentoring. We also promote positive health, and we also do economic advocacy for our community. Today, I am pleased to support the ordinance that will approve the solid waste franchise application and authorize City of Roses Disposal and Recycling to operate a transfer station. First, I want to acknowledge the history. Coalition of Black Men is a 30-year-old organization. I stand on the backs of these brothers who literally stood out in the street in 1988, 1989, protesting the Oregon Convention Center because it did not have inclusion, as Alonzo indicated. You know, many African Americans lived in this community. We all know about the urban removal that happened and the decimation that happened to the African American community. So we want to really acknowledge that today marks a sea change in economic equity for African Americans and people of color. Metro to be applauded for their strides down the path to have real economic inclusion, not just lip service, not just a diversity policy, but when you have two African American companies 30 years later that is renovating the convention center, hiring black people on the street, that is a step in the right direction, and we applaud that. And we also believe today is another step in that sea change. What I really want to acknowledge is what you're supporting is a local African-American second-generation business bringing to market. We're not talking about a handout. We're talking about a business that is bringing a commodity to the market, and they are working to make a profit and grow their company. So this is very great. This is a great opportunity to bring a needed service, which aligns to making profit and meets our community social, economic, and environmental goals. The business, what I also really appreciate as the president is the business worked within the framework of business, regulatory requirements, and their own mission and values to bring this material recycling transfer station to reality. This station is within Metro's 2030 regional waste plan goal. They met with the neighborhood association, and they will continue to continue to advance and revise their plan. They have secured the DEQ national pollution permit that they need to secure. They continue to make improvements to the property to remove hazardous risks to clients, workers, in the community, and they are a B corporation. So we really ask you to support this initiative and really support what it stands for. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Felton.
For the record, my name is Lynn Felton, Council President and members of the Council. I am against Ordinance 19-1435. The policy does not fulfill goals in the Metro 2030 Region Waste Plan and has public safety issues that are not mitigated by the proposed common good of the site. The wet waste transfer station sits in a light industrial zone on its extreme southern border in the Argay neighborhood. 600 feet from the site are multiple low-income apartments and a city park. Farther afield, single-family homes and a Buddhist temple serving the Laotian community. Statistics from the City of Portland Housing 2018 about Argay neighborhood. Over half the residents are foreign-born. A third are elderly. A third are disabled. Over 20% live in poverty. From the Park Rose School District statistics, Shaver Elementary School, the closest school to the site, two-thirds of the student body are from families of color. In Metro 2030 Waste Plan, this is the exact makeup of a neighborhood that has carried the burden, impacts, and cost of the waste system. Passage of this ordinance will continue that tradition and those entrenched ways. Further, the Metro 2030 Waste Plan goal is geographical equity. Approving this site will make it that Troutdale Wet Transfer Station is 6 miles away, Gresham Wet Waste Transfer Station is 6 miles away. That is a consolidation of sites, not geographical equity. Public safety concerns, these are two, planes and cars. Federal aviation guidelines say do not build waste transfer stations within 5 miles of airports. This is because they are a bird attractant. Birds and planes do not mix. Not every situation is the miracle on the Hudson. In fact, very few are. The site, as planned, is not safe, according to the FAA. Traffic. The closest intersection to the site is Northeast Sandy Boulevard and 138th. That intersection is on the Oregon Department of Transportation Safety Priority Index, the top 10 dangerous intersections in the state. Within that index, it is in the top 5%. It is a known deadly intersection. The railway crossing right beyond it is a known deadly crossing. Metro is to pass policy that diminishes the dangers to the public not increases them. Those are my comments, and thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. Next two up are Ariane Sperry and Alan Ippolito. Hello.
Hi.
Name and city of residence.
My name is Ariane Sperry. I live in the city of Portland. Good afternoon, Council President Peterson and members of Council. I'm a program coordinator at the City of Portland. I'm here on behalf of the Solid Waste and Recycling Team to testify in support of a solid waste facility franchise for the City of Roses Disposal and Recycling. The City of Portland supports the core transfer station because it advances our goals of equity, it has greenhouse gas benefits, and it's located on an industrially zoned site approved for waste-related use. Last fall, I convened a diverse set of stakeholders to develop Portland's first waste equity work plan. One of the primary aims of the waste equity work plan is to reduce barriers to economic opportunities for minority-owned and women-owned companies. One action in the work plan is to work with Metro to identify options for prioritizing delivery of garbage to minority-owned and women-owned facilities. The core transfer station is in alignment with Portland's waste equity work plan and will help us advance equity and diversity in our waste collection system. The core transfer station also creates a close-in option on Portland's east side for haulers to tip residential and commercial garbage. CORE's location near the freeway and several hauler yards has the potential to help Portland reach its climate action goals by reducing vehicle miles traveled and greenhouse gas emissions from waste collections. Finally, I will note that CORE's site is zoned for industrial use, which is the only type of zoning where you can have a waste-related use in Portland. Still, all waste-related uses must go through a conditional use review, which CORE did. And last fall, following hearings and public testimony, Portland's hearings officer approved CORE's land use application. As part of the review, a transportation study was conducted, and the city's Bureau of Transportation did not require any mitigation for traffic impacts. CORE's transfer station was found to be similar to previous recycling uses on the site, and the site had been previously approved for waste-related use. For these reasons, the City of Portland urges Metro Council to grant a solid waste franchise to the CORE transfer station.
Thank you. Mr. Ippolito.
Good afternoon, Council President Peterson, Metro Councilors. My name is Alan Ippolito. I live in the City of Portland. In the words of my friend and yours, Rey España, it's a blessing to be here with you today. So the mission of Verde, Verde serves communities by building environmental wealth through social enterprise outreach and advocacy. We were formed in 2005 because we looked around and saw that Portland's renowned sustainability movement didn't really reflect communities like the one we work in, the Cully neighborhood, and nor did we see our folks in the businesses, the institutions, or that movement making a difference in our daily lives. And since that time, Metro and Verde, as you know, we've been strong partners in bridging that green divide through building Cully Park, training new low-income workers to protect and enhance our region's wetlands, involving diverse communities in the design of facilities in Metro natural areas, and of course now working together to achieve an equitable parks bond. In these and other projects, we've been deeply focused on businesses and workers, on diversifying the labor and contractor pool for our region's environmental economy. Because when we exclude workers and contractors of color, we not only contribute to disparities like poverty and unemployment and housing instability, but we weaken our environmental movement. A couple of examples, one from long ago and one that exists today. A lot of folks don't recall that one of the first things we did at Cully Park was grow plant material there for use in wetland restoration activities. And when we were looking to design it, we reached out in the minority contractor community and looked for hydrologists and stormwater management experts that were minority-owned, and we couldn't find a single one. And even today, after generations of public and private investment in renewable energy, we have exactly one minority-owned solar contractor in the state and one woman-owned solar contractor in the state.
So to address this, Verde has longstanding and strong relationships with the minority contractor community, and we're very active in developing new resources and markets for our diverse workers and contractors. Verde supports the City of Roses project because it's aligned with these values. We think it's also aligned with Metro's goals of advancing racial equity and advancing disparities in contracting and creating good-paying green jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in today. Okay, next we've got Corky Collier and Mike Mercer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for my apologies for you being inside on a day like today, but thanks for taking the time. My name is Corky Collier. I'm Executive Director of the Columbia Corridor Association and a resident of Portland. About 10 years ago, as part of a groundwater protection program site inspection, I went to 4550 Northeast 138th. The place was a mess. It was falling apart with no visible attempt to make it better. And that was before it got worse. I've been to the site a number of times over the years, and a couple of weeks ago, it was humming with activity. The office building, which I thought would need to be bulldozed, was in the middle of a renovation. There's a new stormwater swale system. They're getting rid of hazardous chemicals that the previous owners left. There's an area for materials that can be resold. There's wood reuse, you name it. The waste storage building's been repaired. Concrete footings for the pillars re-poured. I'd say that they gutted the facility, but people did that before by taking out the wiring and the metals. This is a responsible company doing a good job. They make for good neighbors. They provide family wage jobs for people without college degrees. They're located literally across the tracks from low-income neighborhoods. The jobs are good money, and the money is going to the part of town that most needs it. City of Roses Disposal is providing a needed service in a good location. It's not too far out, not too far in. They've redeveloped a blighted site. As a B Corp, they're committed to sustainability and equity. They're building a business model that we should all applaud. I encourage you to approve their application and hope that you can do all you can to get them off to a good start. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Mercer.
President Peterson and members of the council, my name is Mike Mercer, and I'm a Portland, Oregon resident. My business is M. Mercer Consulting, and so I help companies go through B Corp certification, which we've heard a lot about today. Just for a little background, many of you probably know that B Corps are certified through a rigorous process to be not just best in the world as a business, but best for the world. And in doing so, I think many B Corps are really trying to change the face of capitalism and actually make sure that we're taking into consideration stakeholder value and not just shareholder value. And so those stakeholders are our employees within the companies that we work with, the environment that we're a part of, and the communities that we operate within. So B Corps really reduce the burden of governments such as Metro when they operate independently and they operate collectively, but they also operate voluntarily to do better things for their stakeholders. They make your job easier. So here's some statistics to think about with B Corps. They're 27% more likely to pay their hourly employees a living wage. They're 68% more likely to donate 10%. Oops, I just lost it all. 10% of their profits to charities. 47% more likely to use on-site renewable energy. 55% more likely to cover at least some of their health care costs for their employees. 18% more likely to use suppliers from low-income communities. And 2.5 times more likely to give their employees at least 20 hours a week of time to volunteer in their communities. So B Corps and the City of Roses Disposal, they're not perfect, but they're working towards being the best for the world. I know the way Orlando thinks about waste, and it's not linearly in terms of moving it to a landfill and make as much profit as possible. Really looking at it is seeing waste as a resource to be reused at a fair profit. So with that in mind, I encourage you to approve the application to operate a transfer station by the City of Roses Disposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both for coming in. Call forward James Posey and Andrew Hone.
Good
After you.
No. Afternoon.
You sure?
Wow.
You're too kind. Such politeness. President Peterson and counselors, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here before you today in support of the ordinance. On behalf of the Portland Business Alliance, my name is Andrew Hone, and I am the president and CEO of the organization and proudly representing the 1,900 members that mostly draw from the MSA, but also 26 counties across Washington and Oregon and four countries. So we are more than pleased to be here to support this profoundly good company and profoundly needed impact project. City of Roses Disposal, or CORE, is a member of the Portland Business Alliance, and we are in support of their application for a transfer station in the city of Portland, and I am a proud resident of the city of Portland, just to clarify, and to do so expeditiously. This proposed transfer station would be the first ever African-American B Corp privately owned station in the city of Portland. Really, news to me, West Coast, that is a big deal, in my humble opinion. This expansion project will bring jobs to the green-collar economy and to the area of our region that will benefit from this much-needed investment. Projects such as the one proposed by CORE will provide good-paying jobs for residents of the region and support a currently underserved industrial district. And I have to emphasize, we have to do everything we can to support industrial districts. It is really the 23% of our employment base comes out of manufacturing, and whatever we can do to support that industry is critical. Furthermore, this is an important economic need in an area that is in need of economic support. East County, I know, Councilor Craddock, you were at our East County gathering at Mount Hood Community College, and supporting the East County economy is critical to all the success of the entire region, so I can't say. The investment in this particular location is also important, both for industrial means and for supporting the East County economy. The sustainable nature of this facility, coupled with the qualifications of this applicant, and I mean that, for those of you who don't know the Simpsons, they are just good people, and so is this company. This will lead to a positive impact on people, planet, and profits, and we encourage you to support this application without further delay and make this possible. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Posey, it's been a couple years. Hi.
It's been a while. Thank you very much for giving the opportunity, counselors and president. I just want to say I'm very proud of you folk up until this point, even because I just talked to Jeff Blauser. I know you guys know who Jeff Blauser is. He was the original manager for the convention center back in 1989 when we were fighting to get people of color on that project. So it's very exciting for me to see how well we've progressed over the last 30, 35 years. And so I'm very excited, very pleased to see the work that you all are doing and continue to do. I just want to personally say that I just passed a letter around to you all dated 1991. And these issues of trying to break into systems that have been designed for everybody else except for people of color is longstanding, and we could go back beyond that and look at the history of Oregon and how African Americans fared in the early days, and you can see the patterns of behavior that's put us behind and may have something to do with why our numbers are so bad right now in terms of our wealth quotient to other groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The data is shocking, and I think about that as we move forward on these policies. We've got big projects coming online. We've got the I-5 bridge. We've got, the Broadway corridor, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just excited that we have young people like Alonzo Jr., and I think you all can attest to his abilities to bring this package forward and to prosecute the whole idea of having this facility out 138th. And I know his dad personally. We call him Al. And when you guys look in the dictionary under hard work, his name will be at the top of the definition when you look under the dictionary, and we all know that. So I'm very pleased to ask that you all favorably consider this a license, because it's not going to be just good for Al and his company. It's going to be good for us as a community, not just in terms of the waste, but in terms of how we go forward as a model for how a company is supposed to be ran and its value system and the ability to give back. And as I listen to those people who object to when I listen to people who object to all of the factors involved in putting a facility like that, I can say I live right there on Rodney and MLK and Stanton. And when they put I-5 through there, and all the considerations around the emissions and so on, they didn't think about us back then. And we still had to live in there. We survived, and we've made adjustments. And I think we have to figure out a way how we can best utilize people who really want to work on our behalf. And I think the Simpsons and Corps will serve this community well. I thank you for the opportunity to talk to you a little bit today about that.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Any questions I can ask?
Thank you both for coming in. Call forward Nate McCoy from NAMAC and Ashley Henry from Business for a Better Portland. Yep, both of you up at the same time. Yep. Don't talk over each other.
No, I won't. Okay.
Ladies first.
You were called first.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Henry. I'm the Executive Director of Business for a Better Portland. And we're pleased to be here today in support of the core proposal for the new franchise for the transfer station. For those who don't know, Business for a Better Portland's goal is to ensure that Portland is an equitable city where prosperity can be shared by all. And since our founding in early 2017, one of our primary goals has been to leverage the strength of established businesses to help entrepreneurs like Mr. Simpson cultivate success and create more opportunity for diverse business leaders. It's really core to the existence of our organization. We acknowledge that we cannot erase the inequities that were created by the historic economic development strategies and the systemic racism that is unfortunately part of our history, but we know that we can be a part of developing and implementing strategies that are inclusive of and beneficial to Portland's diverse communities. We have had the opportunity to tour the proposed facility, and we've also taken time to introduce the leaders from City of Roses to other businesses and community organizations in our network as a way of helping them to find the community that will support them. It's not surprising that a lot of the organizations and community members that we've introduced them to have also been equally inspired by Orlando Simpson's vision and recognize that this is much more than just a transfer station. We know that it's going to create jobs that are sorely needed in the area, but we believe that it will create benefits that will extend beyond just the immediate job creation. So finally, I'll just say, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about our concerns about the inequities in East Portland, and this is a remarkable opportunity for you as elected officials to actually do something about it. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Mr. McCoy.
Thank you for having me, Council President and Councilors. My name is Nate McCoy, and I am also a City of Portland resident. I come today in two capacities, one as the Oregon chapter of the National Association of Minority Contractors Executive Director, but then also as a resident of this neighborhood in the Wilkes neighborhood of 158th right off of Sandy. So I'm 20 blocks away from this new innovative site that is being hopefully built out. What I really kind of wanted to expand on, because everybody's pretty much put it all out there, but what I wanted to really expand on is efforts that Metro is already underway on with the C2P2 conversation around the huge needs of workforce, not just in construction, but industries like this and others where people of color and young individuals are still not finding those living wage jobs. And we feel like this is a great opportunity to provide an anchor in a displaced community, as we've heard, that has gentrified the inner northeast, and now a lot of people are living out in what's called the numbers. This site is right in the middle of those numbers, and as we've heard from other people, there are a lot of apartment buildings here around this facility, but what I can tell you is a lot of those people living in those apartments don't have living wage jobs. And at the end of the day, if they were here to testify in front of you, they would be in favor of this transfer station being here and trying to get their young kids to be in this industry and get a living wage job. I also attended Park Rose Middle School and Park Rose High School. So you're talking to somebody who's been an anchor in the community for a long time there.
Oh,
there you go. I love it. But what I really wanted to say and what I'm hearing from all this conversation, and you guys have heard this before, it takes a village to raise a child. And I would say it also takes a village to raise a business and a community. Mm-hmm. And I think with Metro, City of Portland, under Arianne Sperry's leadership, who over the last year and a half I've worked with to help this new franchise allow minorities to enter for the first time. It's 1950, I think. And we've literally spent a year and a half of trying to assemble the current haulers as well as these new potential entrants. And Orlando is one of, I can tell you, at least three that are very interested. But you don't get a first until you get a first. And others can't follow unless there is somebody who has that opportunity to anchor. We've heard all the process steps. It seems as if Orlando and City of Roses have checked all the boxes, have done all the due diligence, has talked to all the neighborhoods, and has, in fact, brought a coalition today, not just an individual company, but a coalition. So I don't know how any politician could see this in an unfavorable manner, because this seems pretty appropriate with the zoning, the permitting, and everything being in place. And the great thing I'll say about the Park Rose piece is we're starting to talk to Elevate Oregon, who is a school-based mentoring program within Park Rose, about how those kids in that community can benefit from the Corps as well as some of the NAMAC contractors who are working in this area. So it just seems like a win-win, and I think you guys should absolutely approve it so that this community can be supported and move forward. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Did you have a
comment? I did have a question for Nate. One of the things I think that's really fabulous about your organization is the kind of peer sharing and the best practice sharing. How do you see this business as kind of an opportunity to sort of help educate, and can you talk a little more about some of the ways that you might do some sharing about this business and others kind of that will help your other members?
Yep. What I would say, and you don't have to look very far, with the convention center being renovated by Colas and Raymore Construction, we've already started doing youth in the community as well as pre-apprenticeship programs, site tours to see people actively engaging in construction on the site that look like you. We just heard that Orlando has 80% minority workforce as well as 100% leadership. I think often kids of color think professionals mean basketball, rappers, or something else, but there's also people who run businesses that are professionals as well. And so I see it through that, working with an anchor school-based system like Park Rose to get kids out to his facility, understand what sustainability really means, because I'm one of the people that Orlando spoke to that did not have a father in his life and really struggled with my mother to really just understand where did I fit in this world. And I really appreciate Alonzo, his father, because he had that anchor, and I think Orlando wants to be that anchor as a mentor for kids who are struggling and that need some guidance and a job. So I see it as being a program that can work with Verde, with the Elevate Oregon. David Douglas School District is right there, and it's one of the most diverse schools. So I see it as a way to get kids out there, maybe set up a program, even using sports as a conduit to attract kids to want to speak to people like Orlando, who on weekends coaches basketball and all these other things that I don't think he gets the credit for. So I see it in the vein of just identifying people that look like you, working with kids that are interested, and exposing them to stuff that they've never been exposed to. Great right. question.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Thank you both. Thank you for coming in. Okay, I don't have anybody else signed up to testify on this agenda item and in this public hearing. If anybody else wishes to come forward, now would be the time before I close out this portion of the hearing. Yes, sir, come on forward, and for the name or for the record, we'll need your name and who you're representing and your city of residence.
I'll be brief. Thank you. My name is Jeff Moreland. I am the president of Waymore Construction. You as the president and the council. I just wanted to say a couple things about, you talk about, you asked a question about how the influence happens. Let me just tell you, I started Waymore Construction in 1999 after interacting with Mr. Simpson. I call him the old man. Y'all call him Al. And to watch him work a job, and I was working in insurance at the time, and I worked that job while I started my construction company. Somebody called him a hero. People like him, Andre Rayford, James Posey, these are the heroes that I looked at. These are young guys at a time trying to run business and fight a system that was set against them. And then to watch Orlando come in after him and AJ coming after him to be able to take that legacy and to continue to represent that same work ethic is also kind of motivated me. And my sons are also in Raymore Construction as well. And so you see this, to have this model that he's put before us, right? And you see Colas with Armand and Andrew. And you see all these companies now that understand that we have an opportunity and we're working hard to maximize that opportunity. So I want you to just know how much we are as a community are in support of this and looking forward to this being approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming up. Anybody else? All right. I'm going to close this portion of the hearing. The public hearing is now closed. The second reading of this resolution will be considered and vote is scheduled for Thursday, May 16th. Our council meetings are from 2 to around 5, sometimes much shorter. If you are still interested in coming and hearing the discussion, that's when it will take place. So thank you all for coming. Much appreciated. And we do have final work to be done, so if you are leaving now, just quietly, because it's a big crowd.
May I ask staff a few questions?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Hold on, guys.
I'd like to take an opportunity to ask staff a few questions to clarify
things. So, I'm sorry, I forgot. Apologies. If staff, Roy and Hyland, if you want to come forward. Sorry, we forgot to ask questions. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. As the Metro Council president that represents District 1, which Orlando's business is in, we as a council received multiple pieces of email and input regarding this and concern. So if you don't mind, I would like to review with you, have you review with me, I should say, some of the questions and concerns that people ask and have you clarify some of that, if that would be okay.
Absolutely.
I know you mentioned a little bit of this in your presentation, but I want to go back over it. So one of the concerns that we received a lot of comments about are concerns about odor, dust, and vectors or rats. Mm-hmm. Can you describe to us what measures does Metro take to help see that this is not something that it becomes a concern in this neighborhood?
Thank you. I would say that the primary function is that the waste is going to be managed entirely inside of the building.
So that's
the primary way that it's going to mitigate off-site impacts, because all of the putrescible waste will have to be managed entirely inside of the building. It also has to be removed within 24 hours. So the transfer station, the whole point is to move things in and out as quickly as possible. So it's not going to be staying. There's not going to be waste, putrescible waste, wet waste that continues to linger at the facility. It's going to be moved out quickly, and there's going to be a requirement to do that within 24 hours. Briefly, we have several pre-operating conditions. There are a few things, although there have been a lot of improvements at the site already, there are a few things that still have work to do. One of those things is the leachate capture system. So leachate is water that's been in contact with putrescible waste. And so there's some site infrastructure improvements that need to happen to make sure that that's fully captured. And then that is transported offsite as well. So there's, in addition, the city is initially put forward a requirement as a part of the land use decision to have an odor spray neutralizing system around the perimeter, and Metro is including that as a pre-operating condition as well. That system has to be approved by both Metro and DEQ before implementation. And the final thing that I'll mention is that there's the facility, all solid waste facilities that are authorized by Metro have to function within their operating plans, and those operating plans are subject to review and approval by Metro and by DEQ. Where there are deficiencies, if there are deficiencies, they're required to be revised and kept current. And we have our inspectors that go out there regularly to check for compliance and make sure that they're following their operating plans.
Another comment we received or a concern was the concern regarding protecting the Columbia Slough, concern that, mm-hmm. like you said, there would be runoff that would end up in the slough.
Mm-hmm.
And so so one thing that your comment is that this is the trash will be dumped inside a building on a cement floor. There's a system in place to collect liquid, and so all of that is contained and not allowed to run off anywhere, and obviously that makes sure that nothing ends up in the Columbia Slough.
Yep,
correct?
Okay. That's absolutely right. And in addition, they have a DEQ National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, 1200Z. yep. 1200Z permit, and they have to operate within those parameters.
Now, another question or concern we received was this: the concern that here's another facility being put in this part of Portland as a burden on the neighborhoods, both Argay and Park Rose and Park Rose Heights. I'm just going to kind of repeat a little bit what you said, but obviously this facility is sited in an industrial area. It's a Columbia corridor industrial area, an area that's actually a regionally significant industrial area,
mm-hmm.
and that's why this that's what this area is all about, is siting facilities like this to where they can be put place where they can put their businesses.
Yep, that's an excellent summary. And the only thing that I would add to that is that this specific site has been used for waste functions since 1959. So it's been an ongoing.
Not a new. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And possibly only Councillor Stacey remembers this, but this was actually.
I don't remember much anymore.
Just because you've been on the council for a bit, but at one point in time, this was authorized as a transfer station about 10 years ago. Carried that authorization for about 5 years, but it never actually operated as a transfer station.
Now, I'll just bring up. I know that we don't have all this in place yet. But one thing that Metro staff do is once the license is approved and the business is in functioning, is looking at a community developing the community enhancement program. Mm-hmm. And this is where $1 of every ton of garbage that's dumped is put into a fund that then could be returned to the community in some kind of community benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So how long would that be before that would be available to the community?
Yeah, so I got notes about this from my esteemed colleague who runs this program, so let me just refer to those. So the funds cannot be held for longer than a three-year period. For new committees, sometimes they do put it in a pot, so to speak, and hold it so that larger projects can be funded. But it has to be used within 3 years. So for this site, an enhancement grant committee would be formed, and then those funds could be used for enhancement projects near the facility.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? I have one, and I just want to get to the issue that was raised around the 5 miles from an airport.
Mm-hmm.
Could you clarify those rules from FAA?
Yeah, thank you. So there's a circular dictates what can be allowed around airports, and the compatibility with that and with the FAA requirements is something that is considered during the city's land use decision process. And the city consulted with the Port of Portland and has determined that that they conferred with the FAA guidelines, and they believe it will cause no problems at that site.
That's
So it's up to the jurisdiction within that 5-mile radius.
Yeah, we rely on that as part of the land use, and it's that went through that process, and it has been approved.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other clarification at this point, councilors? No? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the second reading, council consideration vote are scheduled for next Thursday, May 16th. Is that next? That's next Thursday. Okay. Great. All right. We'll move on to our next part of our agenda, which is the Chief Operating Officer Communications, and acknowledgement. This is your final communications, Des. Thank you.
I have two things. First, it's not about me at all. The first one is about Tim. Because I think we all ought to recognize that today is Tim Collier's last council meeting as well. There's a lot of things I could say about what Tim's got done here, but that wouldn't be any fun at all, so I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you the things that you all should miss about Tim. First of all, Tim has a fabulous laugh. You can frequently hear Tim coming for miles around because he's laughing. It may not be appropriate. Usually it's okay, but you can hear him. Second, Tim wanders around. Actually, after Dan Cooper left here a few years ago, we were all wondering who would replace Dan in terms of just picking off problems by wandering around. And I can say it's been Tim. And in fact, one of the things I've counted on with Tim is that if I needed to talk to him, I didn't really have to worry. He'd be around somewhere between 10 and 10:30 and somewhere again between 3 and 3:30. The third thing we're all going to miss about Tim is that he got stuff done. Sometimes it was a little ready, fire, aim, but you could count on Tim to make a decision and move on, no matter how much pain and suffering it might cause to others. Tim is brilliant, and actually, he really is brilliant, and the number of occasions we've all had with him where he's explained why we shouldn't worry about this particular thing because this is how the money was going to work and how it's going to flow and how we could do an overhead charge and recoup all the money from solid waste is pretty remarkable, and I thank Tim for all of those moments. The other things we're going to miss about Tim is he is a consummate public servant. He really puts the importance of being a great partner and the importance of being a careful steward of public dollars at the top of his agenda, and every day he works his butt off to make sure that that happens. Metro's going to miss him. He's been really creative in helping us solve problems. We're going to try to fix a lot of this building because of Tim's creativity. But I'm reassured that he's going to another place where they're going to really value. I can't say the word that word, but he's going to another place where they're also going to need a lot of creativity, hard work, and a person who's inspired for action. Last, Tim is the only person who loves plaid as much as I do. So personally, Tim, I don't know how I'm going to get dressed in the morning because I might be all alone in my affection for tartan and kilts. So thanks a lot for really hard work, Tim. Sorry, Councillor Stacey, I thought when I said better place, I didn't say better place, I said other place.
Okay, yeah, you got it.
Okay, just want us to all be clear about that. I want to say a few things, I see some people in the room, and I told them not to come, so I don't know why they're here, so they should go away. when I first came to Metro almost 8 years ago, I told everybody who would listen to me that I wanted to come to Metro because I'm profoundly interested as a public servant of something I call the quality of life dilemma. It's, in my view, one of the most interesting problems that we face in government, and it's certainly a problem that's sort of profound here in Oregon. And here's what it is for me. Greater Portland is so livable that it attracts population and employment growth, and also visitor growth. And that population growth, employment growth, and visitor growth is the very threat to the things that make this place so livable in the first place. So in many ways, as in government, the better job we do, the more people who want to come here, making our jobs harder and harder. I think those things are all around us right now. Anybody who's lived through the rapid growth we've had in the past decade knows what I'm talking about, whether it's traffic or housing prices, whether it's trying to take a hike in the gorge on a Saturday morning and not being able to find a parking spot, whether it's the growing gap between the wealthiest and the poorest, whether it's concerns about air and water quality and our changing climate, all of that comes from population and employment growth. And what's so fun about Metro is we're uniquely situated to convene conversations throughout our major region for tackling those problems. We're working every single day to make sure that the things we love about Greater Portland are protected and enhanced for the people who live here today and for the people who are going to live here in the future. In the last 8 years, I've had a chance to work with some of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. If you've ever come to the Employee Service Award luncheon, you've heard me say that one of the things I love about this agency is we have so many passionate people who are driven by mission. I never question the values of Metro employees. I know they're here for greater good. In the past 8 years, I've had a chance to work with all of you guys on some really phenomenally amazing thing. First of all, we figured out that not everybody's actually benefited from this region's amazing quality of life, and we've realized it's in all of our best interests to do everything we can to remove barriers that face people of color. Because the truth is, by lifting up the folks who we've held back, we lift ourselves up as well. Second, the voters have trusted us with funds, amazing piles of money, no joke, to make sure that we build housing for folks who can't afford it, to remake our outdated Oregon Zoo, and to take care of the parks and natural areas that we all take for granted, but that we preserve because we know we all are going to need clean water, precious habitat for the species we love, and a place to get away from one another well into the future. Third, we've reformed how we look at land use decisions. Our urban growth boundary decisions right now, which is about meeting our dual mission of protecting farm and forest land and providing enough space for urban growth, is much more practical and also gives Metro an opportunity to have a dialogue with communities about what we all want to accomplish in a way that wasn't true 8 years ago. Fourth, we've innovated how we plan for investments in transit. It's really phenomenal when you look at what's going on with our very first rapid bus line on Division and how we've approached Southwest Corridor. Southwest Corridor about an integrated set of investments in parks, in housing, and in economic development, not just a light rail line running down a road. We built the historic, soon to be historic, Oregon Convention Center Hotel. We broke through a 25-year impasse to make that hotel happen. Supporting a visitor economy, which I always like to remind people, is actually a traded sector. We've done a lot of work to try to slow climate change. We did climate smart strategy. We separated our region's commercial food waste from the waste stream. Well, that's not done yet, but we're on the way. And last, the other thing I've been thinking a lot about lately is we've actually refocused the Oregon Zoo from just a place that we go for entertainment, but as a place that we rely on to be an integrated part of conservation in our region. There's so much more. We've done this all because of the leadership of all of you and your willingness to take risks and your willingness to be careful stewards of the public's money. We've done this because of all of you who are creative, energetic, passionate, amazing people. And we've done this with the public and with our jurisdictional partners because we know that our strength is collaboration, consensus building, and trust with the public. It's been an incredible honor for me. I've never worked harder. I've learned so much. I've been so incredibly honored to work with all of the most amazing people I've ever had a chance to serve with. So thanks for letting me be here. And now please go back to work.
Well, it probably didn't help to give them sugar before they came in here, but I'm sure the counselors all have some words, so why don't we start with Counselor Stacey?
I have nothing prepared, so this will sound more like it'll be a little heartfelt. Martha, I've known you since you were a kid. I mean, I wasn't that old, but I was old to you, and you were always there to critique what I did, to point out obvious things that I was neglecting. You married someone who insisted on asking me what my theory of change is, a question I still don't really understand. And then just last week you explained it to me. I think the world is a court of appeals, and all I have to do is make the best possible rational argument, and the waters will part. So you've helped me immensely. I haven't yet put into practice that most recent insight that we all think in different ways than Court of Appeals judges. And I haven't fully accounted for developing a new theory of change. But I will always revere your sense of humor, your drive, your innovation, and the fact that Steve Bauer thought I was almost as smart as you. Thanks so much for everything you've done here these last years.
I had an employee tell me that what he appreciated about Martha, and I thought, wow, this is the perfect word, is your competency. And because you, leading this agency, have given me total confidence that whatever we hand you, you figure out how to make it work with all these people that work in this agency. And it's been so exciting and fun to be in an elected position on the Metro Council because of the creative and the exciting things that we do. And it's you and the employees in this agency that make that happen. And I just want to say thank you. I will truly miss you. I love your frankness. I love your sense of humor. And I will miss that a lot. And I like your confidence that whatever we throw you, it's fascinating when we were in a work session. Off we go into some strange direction. And you can always bring us back to something that's really sensible and something that you can figure out and make happen for us. And so I just want to say thank you. It's really been exciting for me, and I've really enjoyed it. And I'm sorry to see you leave. I will miss you.
Well, I also don't have any prepared comments, but I it's hard to put into words, you know, the value I've had out of spending 6 years of my life pretty closely with you. I think it starts with just knowing that everything you've done here has been from a value space that's really incredible and meaningful and gave me so much confidence about all of your work. And it shows up in little ways like I was just talking to you about how proud I was. I had a battery-operated lawnmower, and I was, you know, really loving it. And you didn't say it with any kind of, like, one-upmanship, but you have the old kind that you have to start get sharpened, you know? I mean, it doesn't require any electricity. I mean, it just, you know, you live the values that we talk about so much, and I think that's incredibly meaningful. And the job that you have done here is amazing in juggling all of these different components: a council with a lot of different perspectives, staff with a lot of interest in moving different programs forward, an incredible complexity of. We all have a pretty good sense here in this building about all of the complexity of Metro, but it's amazing how many different programs and how much expertise you have to just understand all of those issues and the politics and working with JPACT and a whole region of elected leaders and MPAC and just juggling all of that with a lot of grace and being, you know, also, you know, often the smartest person in the room and still really relying on and depending on others to get the job done, even though you might have a really strong sense about how to do things. You support other people in doing their work. And I've learned a lot from you. And this region has gained incredible, has you know, gained tremendously from your work. So thank you.
So being one of the new kids, I don't have the 8 years of history, but we first met about a year ago, and the first thing I really thought was, wow, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Maybe I've made the wrong choice here in going for the elected office and not the administrative head role. The amount of professionalism, the amount of insight you had not only to basically every corner of this agency, but every nook and cranny of the region, every city, every part of our counties. And that wasn't just like chance or happenstance you put the work in that's unrecognized and not it's not other duties as assigned. It's literally you putting yourself out there, and you brought your whole self to this job and all of your passions, and it really shows. And again, as a new person, I've spent the past 4 months and 2 days saying a lot, where is this? Why is that? How might we do that? And with every how might we, you have like a menu of options. It's not just because we've done it this way, we could probably innovate. It's here's a set of resources. Here's a direction that this agency has gone. And really comprehensively, you've shown me that the history of our organization is strong only because of this of its strong past. And you've taught me a lot. Thank you. Thank you for your leadership. And I'll miss you.
My turn. Wow. Well, first off, everyone is so eloquent. That must be really nice. I had to actually write some stuff down that I wanted to share. But, you know, from the first time that I was able to interact with Metro was a few months after college when I had some Metro employees come visit Central for the first time and really talk about, hey, we're about to adopt this plan for racial equity. And, you know, we've been really given the authority to go out and meet with community and try and innovate these models. And, you know, from those amazing experiences that I had with Metro employees like Sheila and Ellen Wyoming Deloy, who no longer works here, but that absolutely changed my life. And the way that those professionals think about you and the way that you led this agency, it changed my life, and it's what brought me to Metro. I mean, you've mentioned over and over again since I've met you that, you know, that Metro's employees are mission-driven, and that's so true. That's what continues to bring me back to this place every single day. And, you know, I want to echo the fact that I see you live the values, and it's just been a matter of just of complete just self-transparency in living that. One of my favorite stories, and it's just such a random, weird story, was earlier in the year when there was a threat of closing the building because of snow. You said, I'll just put on my snowshoes and I'll come to the building and I'll send out the alert and I'll say, you know, and there's just a degree of commitment that is just so special to see. You're going to be missed. I'm so grateful for the work that you did here, your last 8 years, Climate Smart, you know, helping this agency really adopt its strategic plan for racial equity and getting us to a place where we could pass an affordable housing bond, you know, really waiting out the region to get to a place where Metro can be welcomed and out in Washington County. And you know, we're just in a killer place right now to really continue to tackle that livability dilemma and to really make a difference. And so much of it is because of you. So thank you.
I'll just close it out with a big old thank you. The legacy that you have left this region is a reflection of not only your values, but your experience as a city manager and having worked out in the Gorge. I'm so grateful that the past council found and that you were interested in working here for the last 8 years, because there is no part of this region that does not reflect back your understanding of the different places within this community. The recognition that Willamette Falls was an important place was not felt before you came here. The recognition that there was a way to get urban reserves and look at how we could do our planning differently had not happened until you got here. So those are probably the biggest two things that I can, I mean, there are so many things, but looking from the outside in during all these years, having your experience in this building meant so much to those of us who were in elected office elsewhere, working with Metro so that we knew that there was somebody who was going to be able to understand the issues that we face that are not Portland, that are different. Portland is a really special place. The region's a very special place, but it's made up of very different communities with very different needs. And you reflected that, and you heard it, and you made it happen. So thank you for making this whole region
a really, really special place. It's your legacy. So thank you. It's hard to close the meeting. Are there still popsicles?
I'm sure there still are. Check the council office.
Okay.
For the freezer, yeah.
All right. All right. Well, thank you all, and thank you for staying, and thank you, Martha. We're adjourned.
I think I made an appointment with you for tomorrow, but it's really